Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to the book of Luke, Luke chapter number 18. Luke chapter number 18. Again, we appreciate you being here today. And I'm glad that he did go to Gethsemane and he went willingly in order that he might provide salvation for each and every one of us. But we appreciate you being here today and trust you will receive a blessing as we open the Word of God. I want to speak to you today on the person God accepts. Now, I know a lot of people would say, well, I thought he said, whosoever will, let him come. And that's the key. He said, whosoever will, let him come. And although there's been some that have come to him, they did not get saved. And they came to the point, and we find today a certain man that came. In fact, we find two men that came, and one was justified and one was not. And yet we find out the reasons being, but yet it's quite the case. I remember the young lawyer that came and said, what is it I have to do to obtain eternal life? And he said, well, you need to sell everything you got and give it to the poor and whatever. And the Bible said he went away sad because he was not willing to do. I'm glad today that salvation doesn't cost us anything. It's free. It's full and free. However, when we get saved, we do owe a debt, and we owe that debt to the Lord Jesus Christ. But today I want to introduce you to these two men and share some things. You've read them. You know about them. You've heard about them. But the Bible says, beginning in verse number 9 of Luke chapter number 18, and he spake a parable unto a certain which, now listen, which trusted in themselves. Remember that phrase. Which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and they despised others. Boy, that's quite the contrary to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We know today that he loved everyone and despised no one. Here in verse 10, he said, two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The word publican there gives the idea of a man that's a tax collector. It's what it means. And so there's the Pharisee and the tax collectors, we'll call them today. The Pharisee stood and he prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even this publican or tax collector. He said, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as the eyes into heaven, but he smote himself upon the breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for the privilege and the opportunity we have to look into the Word of God. And Lord, we know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. There's not a single story or parable or anything given in the Bible that is not worthy of our attention. And today, I pray that everyone here is saved, but perhaps maybe some here today do not know they're saved. And I pray today that you would speak to their heart, encourage them today to know and have the assurance that they can be born again and know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Father, we ask now that you would guide and direct, have your will and way, we pray, and we'll thank you now for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray, amen. Now, we find here in the story, here he talks about in verse 15, I tell you, this man, being the tax collector, he went home justified rather than the other. You know, Jesus had been discoursing on the matter of prayer and therefore the acceptability of a person to God. And today we find that this illustration was given, and he, knowing the human heart, he anticipated the question that would inevitably arise after hearing the story. Why in the world? And I'm going to get into it in a minute, who the Pharisee was and who the tax collector was. But the people of that day would look and wonder why in the world the tax collector would be the one justified and the other one would not. Who is the person that God accepts? That question today is still an urgent question in our society. We need to understand today, and again, I reemphasize the facts of Jesus said, let whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely, and he shall never thirst again. The key is how we come to him in the manner that we come. If there's ever a time in society when we talk about moral character, is today. Now, the Pharisees were known for their moral character, and today, in recent days, we hear more and more about morality in our society than we've ever heard. It's almost a week does not go by without somebody of being accused of something in the past that has transpired and taken place. Now, I want to say that's not a bad thing. That's That's a good thing. However, I believe through the years, people have taken it lightly, and they've allowed things to happen, and now all of a sudden, morality comes to the forefront of everything that we think about. And I say praise the Lord for that. It needed to come to the forefront a long time ago. But the problem that exists today is not the need for morality in our country, although it is needful. The need today is for us to turn to a living God and understand that He's the one that's in control of this universe, and today understand what He thinks about morality and what He thinks about needs to be done in our life and in our society. It's a tragedy today that men and women have ignored and neglected God and what He says about the matter. I tell you today, morality is important because God says it's an abomination in the sight of God. And so we need to understand that today as we look at it. In Luke 18:9, basically the Bible said, "And He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others." He summed it up as moral bankruptcy when He addressed them. He said, basically, they're trusting in themselves. And by the way, morality goes even beyond sexual immorality, by the way. Immorality can be a number of ways. But then to determine who the person is God accepts. I think today if you'll listen carefully, you'll understand what the Scripture is trying to tell us here in this story that is given to us in the Word of God. So He begins. He begins to reveal this parable to them. He pictures two men, and where are they? They both went up to the temple. Obviously, they went up there to pray. And so He disclosed how they appeared before God, and literally while there, they were shown up in holy light in divine presence. And then a dramatic and solemn vividness, He explained why God had to reject one and receive the other. And that's the message today I want to share with you, and I pray that it'll be a blessing to you. The first thing we notice in verse number 14, the Bible said the person whom God rejects. Let me get that right. We can get it on the screen. The person whom God rejects. In verse number 14, the latter part, He said, "For everyone who exalts himself shall be abased." Now, in order to understand that, exalted means to lift yourself up. Abased means to be brought low. And sometimes God has to bring us to the lowest point in our life when we get too boastful and proud about our being and the things that we do. So here's the Pharisee, and it's quite clear in this story that the Pharisee was an outstanding man. Now you can't argue with it because we're going to read it in the Word of God. And there's three qualifications that I believe made him a good man. The first thing we notice is his good character. As I've already mentioned in verse number 10, he said he was a Pharisee. Now, a Pharisee was a man that literally had to have good moral character. You know, today, I believe Christians ought to have good moral character. But in that day, the Pharisees, they were belonged to a sect in which they were expected to have great moral character. He had become a member of one of the most exclusive sects that there was, and that prided itself in high morality. And I tell you today, that's a wonderful thing. I know people today that they live good lives, and they're good people. They got good character. They got good morals, and they do what is right. But here was a man that was a member of a Pharisee. He was a good man. There's no doubt he had good character. You remember Paul? When Paul, after he got saved, he talked about the fact that at one time he was a Pharisee. And he boasted in that, if you remember, for he said in Philippians 3, verse 4 and 5, "If any man thinketh that he hath confidence in the flesh, he said, I the more. He said, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee." So Paul was proud to be a Pharisee, a good man, good character, no doubt. And so it seems evident that this man that in this parable, although we don't have a name, he's called a Pharisee. And so from that, we would surmise that he was a man of good character. Another qualification for his morality was his good conduct. Now, moral conduct is suggested by this prayer. You said, what do you mean? Well, if you would, look with me at verse 11. The Pharisee stood up and he prayed. And so when he began to pray, he talks about the fact that he said, he prayed thus with himself. He said, "God, I thank thee." He said, "I thank thee that I'm not as the other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this tax collector over here." I'm thankful today that I'm not like them. Although it may sound like pride, it's believable today, if he was a man of good character, that he really meant what he was saying. I'm glad today. I know it sounds here, and I've often read it this way and think, well, he's boasting, and it could have been, but I believe in spite of all that, he was sincere. I believe literally he was glad he wasn't an extortioner, or he wasn't unjust, or he wasn't an adulterer, or he wasn't as the tax collector was. And I'm thankful this morning. I tell you, by the grace of God, we all fail and we all make mistakes. But I tell you today, all of us could be somewhere we don't want to be today, and we ought to be glad that we're not where we could be because of what God has done in our life. Without a doubt, I believe this Pharisee in this passage of Scripture was genuinely, I believe he was genuine. I believe he was a man that literally he was a man of good character. He was a man of good conduct. He really meant it when he said, I'm glad I'm not as an extortioner. An extortioner, the word gives one who plunders, one who spoils or robs. In one place it's translated ravening to describe the ruthless and vicious attack of hungry wolves. It's reasonable to believe that the Pharisees were thankful that he was not an extortioner. He was not one to plunder or spoil or rob somebody else along the way. He was a good man, I believe, according to the Scripture. And I believe that's what God has given to us as we look at it. He said, I thank you that I'm not as an unjust man. The word unjust means not in conformity with the right. The expression is used of an unjust judge in the same chapter. Go back to verse number 2, and we find a little bit about this in verse number 2 of chapter 18. There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. I would say this is an unjust person here. He was not interested in what was right. He was not interested in what was morally right. But he was only interested in himself, and he cared not what God thought or what man thought. And so the Pharisee, rightfully, he was thankful that he wasn't as an extortioner. He was thankful he wasn't like this old judge. No doubt. There was something inside of him that was a little bit different that he was thankful that he didn't. And so I believe it's reasonable to believe. I believe it's reasonable to believe from what we surmise from the story and what we read about the Pharisees that he was thankful that he wasn't unjust. Again, he said, I thank you that I'm not as an adulterer. Now, adulterer is a person who has sexual relationship with the spouse of another, sinking low enough to harm the sacred union between a man and a woman or a marriage. It's reasonable to believe, therefore, that this Pharisee, literally, as he prayed, he was genuinely thankful that no doubt he had remained pure and he had not fallen in that stage of adultery. And he was trying to do what was right, and he was thankful. And I tell you this morning, that's a lot to be thankful for, the day and age in which we live in. And I believe today that here's a man, he's got good character, it looks like, and he has good conduct, and yet he's glad that he's not all these things. But then this is the one that kind of gets us, don't it? We read it because it looks like he's looking down on the other person. But now remember what it said in verse 9. Go back to verse 9 and read those last two words. And despised others. This is what the story is all about. Here's a man with good character and good conduct. He's a man that's glad that he's not all these things. But now he goes to the person that's standing right there with him. And he said, are even as this publican. Well, the Bible says, judge not lest you be judged. I don't think it's our place to judge anybody. Although I think sometimes people judge themselves. And it's quite evident that they do. But yet we find here he was looking down and literally despising the other man. Although he probably knew this man, and he knew, and we'll talk about that in a minute, a tax collector was not the most prominent citizen of the day. And so when he looked down at it, he probably was genuinely glad that he was not like him. Although I don't know that I would have said that in his company, because it does sound boastful and bragging. I'm just simply saying today, he said, I'm glad I'm not like he is. Now, a tax collector was one who sold his patriotic loyalties for the sake of making money. A tax collector, if you go back and read in the Bible and read the history of all of it, tax collectors were hated by all. They not only collected taxes, but understand they collected their salary in the taxes. They just added on what they wanted or what they needed. They thought nothing about taking your money. They thought nothing about taking a widow's money. Didn't make no difference whose money it was. They were willing to take it from you. And so here he is looking at this tax collector, and he's saying, you know he's a dirty, rotten scoundrel. I know his life. I've seen the way he lived. I've seen the things he did. And I know today, and I believe that we could honestly say, genuinely, if this is what the Bible teaches about Pharisees, not to say that every Pharisee was perfect, but I have to believe that God chose one that was these things because he wanted to prove the point. God said this Pharisee literally was a good man. He was a good man. He had good conduct. He did everything that was right. And so now he looks at this other guy, and he literally was glad he wasn't. You see, the tax collector was hated by the Orthodox Jews, in particular by the Pharisees, and that's why he probably had no reason for doing that. So obviously, and I believe generally speaking, he was thankful. He was thankful that he was not like this tax collector. And then the third thing, not only did he have good character, not only did he have good conduct, but I want you to notice his good convictions. Now, you know, conviction is something that has gone out the window in most churches today, in many churches, in people's lives. A conviction is something you believe in enough that you're willing to die for. And here's a man that had some good convictions. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, look at verse 12. I'll tell you why. He said, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. So we know here's some things. He had some good convictions. He believed in fasting. Now notice, he said, I fast twice a week. In the law, God only appointed one day of fasting a year, and that was the Day of Atonement. That was when every Jew would cease from work and deny himself food so that he might afflict his soul and commemorate God's great deliverance out of Egypt, according to Numbers 29, verse 7. It was the only day that God had commanded them to fast, but this man obviously was really a good man because he said, I fast twice a week. Some folks maybe never fasted in their life, but yet here's a man that did it twice a week. You know, once a year wasn't sufficient for him. He said, I got to go above and beyond. I don't know about you, but I tell you, I wish we had a lot of Christians that believed in going above and beyond. I wish we had people that said, you know, this is what God said. Somebody said, well, you know, I got to, well, let me get to that first before we get to that. But anyway, I was about to jump ahead of myself. So he said, I fast twice a week. Do you know how many times that is a year? 104 times a year. Now, would you allow your morality to carry you that far? I mean, here's a man. You can't argue with me today. And you say, well, he could be lying. He could be, but I don't believe he is because I believe Jesus is teaching us something in this parable, in this story, that we need to understand about who God accepts. And so he said, I do all those things. And by the way, that's wonderful. That's commendable. Who in the world would want people in their church that was willing to fast and believe God for revival and pray like they've never prayed before? And yet he was grateful, and he had convictions about that. And then notice what he said. He said, I give tithes of all that I possess. Now, in reading the law, according to Leviticus 27, verse 37, 30 through 32, the law commanded that every Jew tithe of the fruits of the field and an increase of the cattle. That's what he says they were to tithe. But again, that wasn't enough for this man. He said, listen, I'm not going to give just from the fruits of the field, and I'm not going to give just from the increase of my cattle. He said, I'm going to give of everything I own. Somebody recently asked me, said, we supposed to tithe on the stimulus check? Well, that's between you and God, but I know what my Bible says, is the Lord prospers us, doesn't he? He says, help us along the way. Boy, it got quiet then, didn't it? I knew I wasn't getting no amens there. But anyway, here's a man, he believed in tithe. He believed in tithing and giving to God what belonged to him. He said, I'm going to give more than I got. I'm going to give more than I have. I tell you, I'm a good man. Now, this man had some conscientious convictions. Whatever your answer is, you'd have to admit that this man's morality is in pretty high order. His integrity. Obviously, you said, yeah, if he, no, well, let's don't assume if. Let's just tell you that God's making a point here, And I believe this was a good man. I think he had his faults. I think surely he surely didn't know. And I think you're going to see what happened. But we're going to find out this reason for this man's rejection is that he trusted in his own morality and his own righteousness for his acceptance before God. I'm not going to spend a long time on it because I've done it before. But friend, you can do everything there is at the church. You can never miss a service. You can be baptized. You can give your tithes, even on your stimulus check. And it doesn't make one single bit of difference in the sight of God if you don't have the right attitude and the right heart of what you're doing. Friend, we're not saved by what we are or what we do. We're saved by who He is and what we can be by the grace of God. And so here's a man, he had good character. He had good conduct and he had good convictions. But his grounds of his justification just didn't cut it. And so we find him being rejected by God. How sad. Hear people all the time say, I tell you, my grandma, she was the godless person. My grandma, she didn't go to church. She didn't believe in God, but she's the best person ever lived on earth. That's wonderful to be the best person ever lived on earth. But to die without Christ is a sad story on any occasion, because the Bible said when the rich man died in hell, he lifted up his eyes being in torment. Now, let's look at the second man. We like him. He's the bad man. Here's the bad man, the tax collector. Now, you say, the person who God accepts. The Bible said in verse 14, this man, he said, I tell you, went down to his house justified. So it only takes a glance to believe that this man, sadly, was lacking immorality. He was lacking in righteousness. Would you consider with me now his bad character? We read that he was a tax collector. As we've already observed, this man, although a Jew, had bad character. Most tax collectors were. There's no reason to believe that this man was any exclusion. You remember Zacchaeus when he got saved? Boy, he had to go back and do some fence mending. He had to go back and restore back to people what he had taken from them when he got right with God. So here was a man, he had bartered away his loyalties. He was not loyal to God. He wasn't loyal to his family. He wasn't loyal to himself. All he was interested in is he was making money, and literally, he deserved to be despised. It bothers me when people take advantage of other people. And I tell you today, there's people today that care nothing about anybody except themselves. And they'll step all over them to get to where they want to be. And I think that's wrong. And I think they deserve to be despised. But here was a man that literally for years had probably taken all those things that he should not have taken. He had bad character. But not only that, he had bad conduct. This was easy outline. I just had to change one word. He had bad conduct. He called himself what? Look at verse 13. He said, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift much up his eyes into heaven, but smote himself on the breast, said, God, be merciful to me. And here's the key, a sinner. This man, bad character, bad conduct, but he came to the realization that he was a bad sinner. Friend, there's nobody in this world ever gets saved until they come to the realization that they're a sinner. The Bible said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And yet we come to this passage of Scripture, and I tell you, when you read that, he didn't try to talk about all things. And that's where we go back to the other guy. He said, well, the other guy was bragging. And he may have been bragging a little bit. But I believe deep down, sincere, he was loyal, and he did not do those things. But the publican, he said, man, there's nothing else I can say. I'm just an old sinner. And can I tell you today, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. I tell you, didn't deserve to be here, didn't deserve to have salvation bestowed upon me, but thank God, by the mercy of God, not anything I did, but what He did. I could say today, I like the song, by the way, only a sinner saved by grace. I had a lady in our church one time. She was a little different. Hannah, she was an older lady, and she's the one that, we'll tell you that. Then you'll understand a little bit. She came to church on Sunday night, and her mama didn't go to church. And she leave her dog with her mama while she went to church. And one time she went home on Sunday night, and her mama had taken her dog for a ride. And she got irate because she took her out during church time. She said her dog knew that was church time. And she said, so I'll just tell you a little bit about her. But one day she said, I don't like that song. What song? Only a sinner saved by grace. I said, why not? Because it's boasting about being a sinner. I said, no, ma'am, it's boasting about what God does for us. When we are a sinner, if we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, his convictions were bad. He had bad convictions. If there's anything like the convictions held by the tax collector, as we already said, Zacchaeus would have been unscrupulous and unprincipled, according to Luke 19. So judged from every point of view, the tax collector was a man of very low morality and integrity, yet God accepted him. Now that don't sound right. This man, the Bible said in verse 14, went down to his house justified, saved. Here's the good man, he's still lost. Here's the bad man, and he's saved. What was the difference? Well, the difference was not only his character and his conduct and his convictions, but his coming. He had the right coming. The reason this man's acceptance was not because of his badness, for the Savior certainly does not speak lightly of sin. God hates sin. The Bible said that we're to abhor sin. We're to flee sin. We're to resist the devil, and he'll flee from us. The reason for his acceptance of this man is he came to God the only way that you or I or anybody can come to God, whether good or bad, rich or poor, young or old, illiterate or educated. Here's why. First of all, he came with the right selflessness. Selflessness. He said in verse 13, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Somebody said, what do you have to say to get saved? Well, I just need to believe you need to pray and ask the Lord to save you. But I tell you what, I believe if you mean it in your heart, you can just say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And ask God to forgive you your sins, come into your heart and save you. You see, he narrowed himself down to just being a sinner in the world. And indeed, there's no other way to come to God. No matter what your character, your conduct, your convictions, you'll still be a sinner before God. The acknowledgement of that fact is the first step in God's favor. I read a story. Stephen Olford, a great expository preacher, told the story of a number of years ago. He was in a crusade in England. They had a Sunday night meeting, and he used a big hall because back then they used to get great numbers that would come in to hear the gospel preached. And on this particular evening, he said there was not enough counselors to meet with all the people that would be coming forward at the invitation because they'd seen people literally getting saved by the droves. And so he looked down, and here's a man dressed in clerical attire. I guess maybe the collar or whatever, I don't know, but it was something that made him stand out. And so he motioned for the man to come forward at the invitation, and he was going to ask him if he would to please take some of these people and deal with them about the salvation. When the man got there, he said, I'm a seeker, and I would like to talk to you just as soon as you're free. He said the man sat down, and when the service was over, he went to him, and he discovered this dear man had studied theology at Cambridge. He completed 5 years at the university in England. He had been a missionary in Africa for 5 years. But he says, I'm not saved, and I need to be saved by the grace of God. And not until that night had he come to realize that all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And friend, as strange as that story may be, I believe it happens multiplied times over and over again. I believe there's preachers that stand in pulpits every week and preach, but they've never come to the realization that they're a sinner and they need to be born again. I'm not judging nobody. It's not my place to decide who's not and who is. But I can tell you this, if you come like this good man did, and you're not willing to admit you're wrong in understanding of that, you'll go away rejected. But if you'll come as this tax collector did, God will receive you. He came with the right sacrifice. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He said, what sacrifice? That's exactly it. He didn't have a sacrifice except the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And with his humbleness and his holy boldness, he looked at the sacrifice that was offered for him that very hour in the temple, claiming the Lamb of God as the Savior of the world. Friend, I'm telling you today, people go through life, and it's inevitable. It happens all the time. You ask people, do you know you'd go to heaven? If you die today, do you know you'd go to heaven? And everybody say, well, I'm doing the best I can. It's not good enough. But you, I go to church. Not good enough. You said, but I tithe. Not good enough. Friend, what you got to do is come face to face with who you are. Somebody said this tax collector sent the shortest telegram ever been written. Address, God. The message, have mercy on me. Signature, the sinner. And I think today how important it is. Of the old hymn, the publican in fact prayed, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. The way of cross is still God's way of salvation. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name in heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And then lastly, he came with the right surrender, humbly. You said humbly? How did he do that? Smote himself upon the breast and simply said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. In all the virtue of the blood sacrifice, he surrendered himself to faith in God. And here's what Jesus said. This man went down to his house justified. Boy, today I would love to see lost people come to the house of God and come to the realization they're a sinner and come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and hear the Master cry, this man goes home today justified. Because he's believed in God and accepted him as his Savior. So we've considered the person whom God rejects, and we've observed the person whom God accepts. Which of these persons do you represent? Quit trusting in yourself. Quit trusting in your righteousness. Bring to God the right selflessness, the right sacrifice, the right sacrifice, the right surrender, and humbly pray, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Friend, today, that is the person that God accepts. Do you know him today? Please don't play around with this. This is serious business. Do you know there's been a time when you've come humbly before God, confessed him, received him, and believed in him, got saved, and followed him in believers' baptism.